Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm on, right? Everybody hear me okay? Everybody hear that? Okay. Oh. That was funny. I enjoyed that right there. I don't think you did, but I enjoyed that. Everybody hear me okay? No? Let me go with the handheld. Can I do that?
I'll go with the handheld.
That's probably the truth. Is that? Is that better? Good? Yes? Balcony? Good? Don't give me. I knew there it is. Somebody gave me a thumbs down up there. I won't tell you who it is. I'll just give you his initials. It's Roger Cox. All right, anyway. Ephesians chapter 5. Let me say this to you. We're going to be here for a long time. I'm not talking about today, okay? I'm talking about for many, many messages. There is so much in what the Lord has put in my heart for this study that there's at least four messages in this, if not more. And we find it in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Let me say this to you. If you're married today, God loves your marriage. Your marriage is precious to Him. Your marriage is unique to Him. And He wants you to have the very best marriage that you possibly can. If I'm speaking to young people who are not married yet, you need to put this in just in the back of your mind, but not out of your mind, and ask God to help you be a mate like this. But I am speaking to folks who have lost a mate, widows and widowers. And I want to speak to you just a moment because I want you to understand that anytime a preacher preaches on marriage, it can really stir some things in your heart. And I want you to know I'm not trying to open a wound. And I want you to know that God loves you. And if your mate was saved, you'll see your mate again. And all of us can understand as we go through this, whether we're married, not married, or a widow or a widower, that what we're going to be studying here is the love of Christ. How He loves His bride. Which means that this applies to everybody. The truth of it applies because He loves you this way. But if you're married, it's obviously an application for our series on imitating God as a spouse, imitating God as a husband. That'll be the title, Imitating God as a Husband. If you're a wife, it's just as a spouse because what I'm bringing out applies to both. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, gave Himself for it. Notice that phrase, Christ loved the church. And today I begin this message on imitating God as a husband. Let's pray together. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You for the privilege to pray. And I pray, our Lord, that You will take this sermon as we only begin it this morning and arrest our attention. Would You speak to our hearts? Would You challenge us with the Word of God? Would You bless us with how we focus on how much You love us and how You love us and what kind of love You have for us? And help us to seek to imitate that love in our homes. Speak to us thoroughly. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 5:1, which is the text for our whole series on imitators of God, says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." I remind you again that the word followers means imitators. That's what it means. And it should be the desire of every child of God to imitate God, to be like the Lord. We should have a desire to be like Him as much as possible. And in this series, we're looking at God in specific areas in which we can apply it to our lives. For instance, we've already considered imitating God as a father, as a parent. That was all day last Sunday. I encourage you to go back and get it if you haven't already done so. Today, we shift our focus to another major specific area in which we can imitate God. In other words, He is this, and we ought to imitate it as well. And that is, we can imitate God as a husband. We can imitate God as a spouse. The marriage relationship is precious to God. For He is the one who instituted marriage between one man and one woman until death do them part. Genesis 2:18 to 25. It was not Adam and Steve and Sue and Sally. It was Adam and Eve for one lifetime until death do them part. God instituted that marriage relationship between one man and one woman until death do them part. Of any relationship that God could have chosen to picture Christ Himself and the church, God uses the marriage relationship between one man and one woman to picture Christ and the church. It's interesting that the church, one of the many names of the church in the New Testament, is we are known as the bride of Christ. This makes the marriage relationship vitally and very important to God, and should therefore be very important and vital to us. But it's been reported, I said however here, it's been reported that over one half of all marriages end in divorce. And while the marriage of believers should be different than non-believers, this stat is true of Christian marriages as well. Dr. Clarence Sexton put it well by saying, just because you're a Christian does not mean that you have a Christian marriage. That's a powerful statement. And how true that statement is. As pastor of this wonderful church, let me emphasize to you that this church will only be as strong as the homes represented within it. I know that the devil is out to destroy all of our homes, mine, yours, and all of ours, that's represented here today and listening, and it'll listen to this in the future. One of the ways that he destroys homes is he attacks the marriage relationship. And as we approach this message that will last for several services, may I say this to you, the applicable truth. I'm going to give you applicable truths all through it, but the list of things, it's this, this, and this. We're only going to get to one of those this morning. But there are umpteen of them. I mean, there are all kinds of them. I hope you'll be here to hear every last one of them. And as we approach this message, ask the Lord to speak to your heart and strengthen your marriage. There is not one marriage here today that cannot be helped in some way to be more like Christ. No one here has arrived in your marriage. Determine your marriage will get better and better, more and more like Christ. Determine to imitate God as a spouse. Let me put it this way. Are we ever on this side of eternity going to be exactly like Christ? Yes or no? I'm talking in our actions, how we respond, what we do, our daily decisions. Are we ever going to be perfect like Him? No. Which means on this side of eternity, listen to me, friends, your marriage will not ever be perfect. But you ought to try to imitate God as much as possible. And as you study God, the Lord Jesus, we learn how He loves His bride. And before we get to the main thought of this message, let me remind you here today that marriage in the eyes of God has been identified as a covenant that one man and one woman make before Him. Malachi 2:14 says, "Yet you say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant." Are you listening to me? Marriage is not an agreement between one man and one woman. But marriage is a covenant between a man and a woman with God. Marriage is not a contract that you enter into with your mate, but a covenant you make with God that you will be faithful and fulfill your picture in the marriage that is given in the Word of God between Christ and His bride, the church. When you stood at the marriage altar and you looked at your wife or you looked at your husband and you said, "I do," you didn't say, "I do," to your wife or husband. You said, "I do and I will," to God. There are too many marriages today, too many who look at marriage like a contract. For instance, they'll have the attitude that as long as my mate earns it, then I will do my part. Or as long as my mate meets my needs, then I will meet their needs. Or as long as they keep their promise, then I'll keep my promise. Friends, marriage is not a contract. Marriage is not, have you ever heard this? It's a 50-50 opposition. Yes, well, sometimes it is an opposition. It's a 50-50 thing. Are you listening to me? Marriage has never been a 50-50 thing. Marriage has always been a 100-100 thing. It's a man giving his 100% to God and a woman giving her 100% to God. It's never been, if she treats me right, then I'll treat him right. If he treats me right, then I'll treat her right. That is not what marriage has ever been in the Word of God. It's not a contract. It's when you stand at the marriage altar and you look into her eyes and she's the most beautiful thing that you've ever laid your eyes on, and you realize she's not always going to look like that. It's when you stand at the marriage altar and you say she's the most beautiful. I remember the first time I met my wife. Man, blesses my heart just thinking about it. Didn't even know she existed till I got in the center of God's will for my life. God had her waiting for me. Remember going into the old auditorium there at Temple Baptist Church. I'd never laid eyes on her, but I saw her. I came in on the door here, and she was sitting way over here, and my eyes caught her for the first time, and I've not taken them off since. Amen. She's the most beautiful human being I've ever seen. But only God knows if an accident or a health problem will ever take her outer beauty away. And you stand at the marriage altar and you hear those vows and you say, "I will and I do," you are saying, "God, I don't know what the future holds. I don't know if she'll ever look," I'm talking about look like this for the rest of her life. "I don't know if there's something bad going to happen to him. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how he's going to treat me. I don't know how she's going to treat me. But I promise you, God, I will be faithful." It's a covenant. It's a covenant with God. Every born-again married man and woman should see the importance of their union and how it pictures Christ and His bride to be taken very seriously. Do you take it that serious? Do you realize when you got married that you made a covenant with God, not a contract with your spouse? Do you understand that God has consecrated that union to picture His own blessed Son and His bride? If you're a child of God, you should have a desire to be the very best husband you can be. You ought to have a desire to be the very best wife you possibly can be. By the way, some people say this, "I married the wrong person." I like what Dr. Sexton said. He said, "You may date the wrong person, but don't you ever say you married the wrong person." Amen. Because if you go into your relationship saying we got married for the wrong reason, all these kind of things, don't blame God for that. But when you enter God's relationship, God's union with the marriage covenant with God, you are married to God, my friends. And you are bound by His word to be faithful. One of the ways to learn how to treat your spouse and to be the very best spouse you can be is to study the Lord Jesus and how He treats His bride. As I've already said, if you're saved, that's you. How He treats you, how He loves you. And if you're a born-again child of God, you ought to have a desire to treat your spouse the way that God, your husband, treats you. Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, and what kind of a husband He is to His bride should motivate us to be the same kind of spouse to our mate. As we travel through the following thoughts, I plead with you. I beg you as your pastor to ask God to speak to your heart. Help you be sensitive and submissive to what the Holy Spirit will speak to you about. It is so vital that you're here for every one of these services. Every one of them. Because the one thing that you miss could be the one thing that saves your marriage. Now, before I get started with this, as far as the outline, let me make a statement to some folks who may be listening now in this auditorium or may be listening by internet or who may listen to this series later who have already gone through divorce and you're remarried, or maybe you're not remarried. Let me say this to you, especially if you are remarried, don't beat yourself up and go back and say, oh, this, no. You focus on your marriage right now, and you determine that you're going to be the very best husband and the very best wife that you possibly can be to your spouse that's living right now with you. Some of the greatest people in our church who have done things for God have been divorced and remarried. It is not the end. It was not God's will. It was not God's plan. But it doesn't mean you have to throw in the towel. You go forward for God. Now, as we're focusing on marriage today, in our text, the Bible says, for husbands to love their wives, even as Christ loves the church and gave Himself for it. The Greek word for love is the word agape. That is so vitally important. This is important for us to consider because in the Word of God, when you see the word love, you will notice if you study the original language that there are different kinds of love the Bible speaks about. There are three major types. First of all, there's what the Bible calls phileo love. It's all translated love, but when you look at the original word, it can either be phileo, and that word phileo means affectionate regard, the kind of love that you have for a friend. Hopefully your phileo love, it's like a friendship. You love them as a friend. There's nothing intimate about it. It's just you love them as a friend. That's phileo love. There's another kind of love that's translated from the word eros. It's where we get our word erotic. It is sexual or intimate love, physical love. But then there's another kind of love that's translated from the word agape. And every verse I'm giving you in this series, this sermon that's really a little series within the series, every verse that I send you to and quote, the word love in that verse is the word agape. You understand that? I will not give you a verse that is phileo or eros. They will all be agape verses. Because this is the love that God commands husbands to love their wives as He loves us. Can I read it this way? Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, agape your wives, even as Christ also agape the church. He did not phileo the church. He did not eros the church. He agape the church. It's vitally important that you understand this. This agape love is the love of God for man. It's unconditional love. It's sacrificial love. It's the same kind of love that Jesus Christ said that his Father has to him. Listen to this. John chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father hath loved, that word love is agape, agapeo, agape. As the Father agaped me, so have I agaped you. Now agape one another. I hope you're with me here. He's not talking about just love flippantly. It's the kind of love he talks about. It's agape love. My friends, let me ask you a question. How much does God the Father love God the Son? What kind of a love is that? What kind of agape love is that? May I say this to you? That's indisputable love. That is indestructible love. That is indivisible love. I'm saying there's no doubt that God the Father loves God the Son and loves him individually and loves him indestructibly, indescribably. And God the Father, as he loves God the Son says, you love your mate with that same kind of love. It is this agape love that the Lord loves his bride with. And it's this agape love that we're going to study together. Because if you're going to imitate God as a spouse, your love will be agape love. Agape love. All the verses again that I will quote and give to you and read. When you hear the word love or loved, it's always the word agape. Now, let me give you three things. I'm going to get number one and number two done and get started on number three, because number three is the list, which is what you're wanting, okay? You're wanting the list, aren't you? It's this love, this love, this thing. This is what it does. This is what, that's what you want. But you can't start with a list. Agape love. Number one, important now, this is so important. First of all, the command to agape love. Now that's the same word, but I'm putting them together so you learn to put them together. Agape love. Agape is love. Love is agape, okay? So in the major points, I'm using the two words together, but it's the same word. The command to agape love. Ephesians 5:25, notice the language. Husbands, love your wives. Is that a suggestion? Is he asking husbands to do this? Is he, yes or no? No. He's commanded them to. The Bible says in Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives. Again, every verse I'm giving you, it's agape, okay? Love, that's agape. It's important now for husbands and wives to understand. Before we get to this list of, I don't know how many things there are, it's important to understand that agape love, now get this. Do I have your attention? Agape love is not an emotion to feel. It's a command to obey. Let me explain. When a spouse says, I've just fallen out of love with my mate, I just don't love them anymore. That's not agape love they're talking about, friends. Because agape love never ends. That's one of the other two types of love that they're talking about, and we all know which one that is, don't we? I just don't love her anymore. The problem is, you're not talking about the same kind of love that God loves you with, sir, ma'am. You're talking about eros love. You're talking about sexual love, intimate love. I just don't want to touch them anymore. That's not agape love, that's eros love. And the problem is not eros love, the problem is you're disobeying a clear command. Now friends, this is not going to be easy to hear this, I know. And I want you to know that when I point at you, I've got six fingers pointing back at me with both hands. I need this. If you don't love your mate with agape love, you are living in direct disobedience to a clear command of Scripture. This love is not a feeling. It's an action. That's what it is. And we are commanded to have it one for another. If we don't have it for our mates, we're out of God's will. And we're backslidden. It's important to see this. Number one, the command to agape love. Number two, the creator of agape love. Listen to this verse, 1 John 4:7. Again, all verses with love are love. It's the word agape, okay? Listen to this. Beloved, let us love, agape, one another. For love is of God. Agape is of God. Where does it come from? It comes from God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Listen to this. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. I'll give you three guesses on what that word love is. It's agape. The fruit of the Spirit is not eros. The fruit of the Spirit is agape. The creator of this love, friends, listen, it's so important to understand this. Agape love is not a love that you can muster up in yourself. I'm just going to agape love her. I'm convicted. I'm just going to do it. No, you won't. No, you won't. It is not, now get this, it is not something you can determine. I'm going to have it for my mate, and then it's all settled. That's not the way it works. This love, agape love, comes from God. He's the creator of it. He created it. It only comes from Him. Therefore, if you, now get this, if you are not a child of God, it is impossible for you to agape your mate. You can't do it. You can't do it. Because it comes from God. Along with this, if you're a child of God, but you're not controlled by the Spirit, because it's the fruit of the Spirit, if you're not controlled by the Spirit, going back to our introductory sermon on Wednesday night, a couple of Wednesday nights ago, if you're not living in subjection to the will of God and filled with the Spirit of God and influenced and controlled by Him, you won't love your wife with agape love or a husband either. It comes from God. There are too many people who are trying to, on their own, muster up love for their mate in themselves, and they get frustrated. Why don't I love them like I should? Or why does he not love me like he should? Or why does she not love me like she? And sometimes they get convicted. I know I need to love her, but I just don't feel it. I just don't feel it. I just don't feel it. It's not a feeling. It's a command. It's not eros. It's not phileo. It's agape. It comes from God. Friends, when husbands and wives need to love each other with agape love, they don't need to love one another. They need to fall in love with God and allow God to love your mate through you. This agape love that we're going to study here momentarily, just one of them this morning. This agape love that acts, that's sacrificial, all of these things, it's not natural. It's supernatural. I'm telling you, God never asks you to do something that He doesn't give you the ability to do it. The secret to a marriage that is united in agape love is each mate loves God. You show me somebody who says, I just don't love them anymore, and I show you somebody who's either not saved or they are backslidden on God. It is that simple. It really is. The problem is God, the creator of agape love, has been neglected and ignored. This love comes only from God. And this is one of the major reasons husbands and wives need to have a daily communion with God. In order that His, it's His love, He created it, He gives it. In order that His agape love will be ruling and reigning in our lives. You've seen the illustration maybe of the triangle where God's at the pinnacle and the husband's here and the wife is here. And the secret to getting close to one another is not trying to work it out this way, but work it out this way. Because when the husband gets close to God and the wife gets close to God, what happens to each other? They get closer to one another. You say, well, I just don't love her. I just don't love him. Your problem is you don't love God. Amen. Wait a minute, I'm reading the Bible. I didn't say that. Are you submitting to it? You know, you can read the Bible every day of your life and be as far from God as somebody who's not reading it at all. It's not just reading it. That's good. That's great. We promote that. You ought to read it every day. Are you submitting to it? Whatever it tells you, you're going to do. Well, you don't understand what she's doing to me. That's not agape love. God didn't tell you to eros love. He didn't tell you to phileo love your mate. He said agape love them. Do what I do for you. 2 Timothy 1:7, again, listen to this. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of agape and of a sound mind. Agape is not something you're born with. Agape is something that God gives you. He's the creator of it. Now, we're going to get started with number 3. This is the list that you're all been waiting for. Well, probably not all of you, you know what I mean? You're all waiting for here. What kind of love is it? We'll be here for at least 3 services. Number 3, the characteristics of agape love. We've noticed the command to agape love. We're commanded to do it. We've noticed the creator of it. It comes from God. Now we look at the characteristics of it. A study of the love that God has for us reveals what kind of love this truly is. Each one of these characteristics should be imitated by every child of God as a husband or as a wife. The agape love Christ has for his bride is not a dead, dormant love. It is an active love. It's a love that acts. 1 John 3:18 says, my little children, let us not love. You know what that word love is? Again, I'm reminding you, every time I'm using a verse, it's agape. Let us not agape in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Can I paraphrase? Don't just say you love her. Don't just say you love him. Prove it. Show him. Show her. Because agape love isn't just from the word, it's the act. Agape love goes further than saying, I love you. It shows you, I love you. See, when I began this message and started studying, before I started really digging in, I thought to myself that this message was going to be like the Father message. Different thoughts that, you know, he does this, he does this, he does this. And God showed me everything he does for his wife is under one major thought, and that is he agapes me. The reason he does all these things is because he loves me. There's a case of a man who loved his wife tenderly and steadfastly for a total of 15 years. Without any responding love on her part, there couldn't be any response because she had developed what's called cerebral, it looks like arteriosclerosis or something like that. It's a chronic brain syndrome. In the beginning, she experienced intermittent times of confusion. A former school teacher, she had enjoyed driving her own car for many years, but finally her husband had to take away her car keys for her safety. As the disease progressed, she gradually lost all her mental faculties and didn't even recognize her husband. He took care of her at home by himself for the first 5 years, and during that time he often took her for visits, she looking her prettiest, although she had no idea of where she was. Proudly displayed her as his wife, introducing her to everyone, even though her remarks were apt to be inappropriate to the conversation. He never made an apology for her. He never indicated that there was anything wrong with what she had just said. He always treated her with love and attention, no matter what she did or said. The time came when the doctor said she had to go into a nursing home for intensive care. She lived there for 10 years. Part of that time, she was bedfast with arthritis, and the husband was with her daily. As long as she was able to sit up, he took her for a drive each afternoon, out to their farm or downtown or to visit the family, never in any way embarrassed that she was so far out of touch. He never made a negative comment about her. He didn't begrudge the large amount of money required to keep her in the home all those years, and never even hinted that it might be a problem. In fact, he never complained about any detail of her care throughout the long illness. He always obtained the best care for her and did the best for her. This man was loyal, always true to his wife, even though his love had no response for 15 years. This is agape. Not in theory, but in practice. You know what agape love is? No matter what you do, no matter if you love me back or you spit in my face, I will always love you. And I will sacrifice myself to prove that to be true. The man that told that story was that couple's own son. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't just say he loves me. He shows me. The following is a list of many, many characteristics of agape love. I'm going to give you this one and I'm done today, okay? This morning. We'll pick up tonight. What kind of a love is this? It's an active love. What kind of a love? It's all C's, just for your help. So if you take notes, you realize you can go ahead and put C down because it's going to be something that starts with C. Number one, first characteristic. This will be where we conclude today. First of all, it is Calvary love. It's Calvary love. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and what? Gave himself for it. The first thing we see about what kind of love Christ has for the church, what kind of love agape love is, we see it in the phrase, he gave, there's the action, he gave himself for it. This means that his love for the church, his bride, was shown by his giving himself completely to the church by dying for us. Christ demonstrated his agape love by giving himself for us. I call this Calvary love. If you want to know how much Christ loves his bride, look at Calvary. That's it. That's how much he loves you. He was and is completely committed and devoted to us and proved it by his action of dying for our good. He willingly died for me. He was willing to sacrifice his all for his bride. 1 John 4:9-10, in this was manifested the love of God. Again, every verse, the love of God, the love, it's agape. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son in the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Ephesians 5:2, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, agape, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he so agaped the world that he gave his only begotten son. John 15:13, Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, agaped us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The Bible says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The Lord allowed himself to be nailed to a cross and die. This is Calvary love. This is agape love. This is how much he loves his bride. This is how much I'm to love mine. Can my spouse say the same about my love? Am I willing to be crucified for my spouse? You know, the average spouse here today would say, I'd die for my wife. If you wouldn't, you're as low as they come, sir. And I'd say the same thing to the wife. I don't know of one man or one woman, I'm talking about personally, who would say, I would not die for... Most people say, I would die for my wife. Or I'd die for my husband. While that's good and that's right, and you ought to be able to, and you ought to be willing to. I'm not asking, are you willing to die physically? I'm asking, are you willing to live a crucified life for your spouse? Are you willing to die daily to yourself to meet their needs? See, there are people who are willing to lay their physical life down, but not their daily life. You just don't know, she doesn't meet my needs, he doesn't meet my needs. And you're not crucified, sir. You're not crucified, ma'am. That's not agape love. May I say this? Christ could have come down off the cross anytime he wanted to. But he chose to stay on it, because that's how much he agapes me. Do you love your spouse enough to go without yourself? Do you love your spouse so much that you are willing to suffer pain? Now, I hope you're not suffering pain, okay? But if need be, agape love will put themselves on a cross for the sake of their mate. One commentator said it this way, the husband should give his entire body as an earthly sacrifice for the sake of his wife. I heard a preacher say this, a statement similar to this, I like this. A great marriage is two givers trying to outgive the other. Boy, I like that. Are you a spouse that sacrificially gives yourself for your mate's needs? Or are you more concerned with what your mate is giving you? There is so much selfishness in marriages today. Husbands selfishly wanting his needs met, and wives doing the same. The Lord gave himself completely to us in order to meet our spiritual needs. Let us love our spouse with Calvary love. Sacrifice yourself daily for his or her sake. Get this. I've got about three statements here. As long as I don't add to it, I'm done, okay? I may add to it though, okay? Get this. Don't be in your marriage, and I've got this in all caps, to get what you can, but be in your marriage to give all you have. Did you hear what I just said? Don't be in your marriage to get all you can, but give all you have. This is what the Lord did. This is how much He loves you. And if we imitate Him as a mate, this is how we will love our mate. Number one, it's Calvary love. Be back tonight. As I give you six or seven, maybe even eight things tonight, and all day next Sunday, we're going to a passage of Scripture where there are 15 characteristics of agape love. And every one of them needs to be applied to our marriages. We're only getting started. May the Lord help us in our marriages. I'd like to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our Father, we love You this morning and thank You for allowing us to get started with this. And I pray as we prepare for tonight, as we prepare for next Sunday, that You will prepare marriages for what they're going to hear. But Lord, may marriages today be helped even in this opening sermon. May husbands and wives today be determined that they're going to get as close to God as possible and allow the God of agape love to love their mate through them and have Calvary love enough to sacrifice themselves for the good of their mate. Do Your work, Holy Spirit, please. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. Three major thoughts. We've just gotten started with the third one. We have noticed the command to agape love. We have noticed the creator of agape love. We're only getting started with the characteristics of agape love. Let me start where the Lord would have me to start. This whole message that will last for several services is centering around husbands and wives agapeing each other. But you cannot have this love without the Lord God who created it being a vital part of your life. If you're lost today, you've never trusted Christ, come and let us take a Bible and share with you how you can be saved. Hey, you say, how much does God love me? Look at Calvary. He died for you. He's buried and rose again because He wants you to be His mate. He wants you to be His spouse. Don't you want to be introduced to Him? Is there one today say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not saved, or I'm just not sure, but I believe God's speaking to my heart. Anybody like that? You say, I believe I need to be saved today. Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody like that? Say, I believe I need to trust Christ. Anybody at all? Let me ask you this question. How many say, Jody, I'm a married person, and I know you've got a lot coming, a lot that you've not even said yet. I know that. But in this opening message, God is speaking to me. Have you say, Jody, pray for me. God has my attention. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Would you do that? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. One of the greatest things you can do for your marriage if you're saved is walk with God. Stay close to God. Commune with God. Because only God can give you the love that we're talking about. Some of you need to make up your mind that you're going to walk with God on a daily basis. You're not going to let a day go by without reading the Bible and submitting to it. Whatever it tells you to do, your answer is yes. Have you today say, Jody, I'm not married. I'm a young person, a teenager, or maybe a young adult, and you say, even though I'm not married, God's using this. And I sure want this for my marriage, and God's speaking to my heart already. Would you be honest? Raise your hand in the air with mine. Would you do that? God bless you. Well, that's several of you. God bless you. Have you say, Jody, God's speaking to me. I'm married. And I'm just going to be honest. I've been selfish. I've been looking at marriage through the eyes of what I can get out of it instead of what I can give to it. You say, Jody, pray for me. I need Calvary love. I need Calvary love. God's speaking to me about being crucified, saying no to myself to meet the needs of my mate. Have you God speaking to you in that way? Would you raise your hand? Be honest about it. Be honest about this. God bless you. Yes. I'll ask Brother Gary just to begin to sing. And I think it'd be good for husbands and wives if the Lord so leads you. Husbands, won't you take the lead? Won't you grab your wife by the hand? May shock her. May give her a heart attack. Won't you grab her by the hand, come to the altar and say, honey, let's go pray and ask God to give us agape love. Help our marriage to be based on not eros or even phileo. I hope you have phileo and I hope you have eros. But you can't build a marriage on that. You build a marriage on agape. As he sings, why don't you husbands come? Bring your wife with you. Would you do it? Come now. Oh, to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. Some of you young people who say, God's speaking to me, come, talk to God about it. Some of you say, I need Calvary love, come. Talk to God. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. They're playing through, or some are praying, one's coming to join the church. If you're seated, you can look this way. We're just about through. I cannot encourage you enough to be back tonight. Now, we're not going to get through tonight. We're going at least through next Sunday night, no doubt, maybe beyond that. Every one of these messages can help you, can strengthen your marriage to be. We want you to have the strongest marriage as possible. Be nothing new under the sun here. Just good reminders. And we trust the Lord will use this in a great way. This is Miss Linda Willis, and Charlotte's sitting with her here. She's been coming to this church for several months. We met with her this week. She came to talk to us. She knows the Lord is her Savior. She's been scripturally baptized in a church of like faith. She's not openly living in any sin. She's not perfect, but she's not openly living in sin. And she desires to join our church, and we are thrilled about this. I hope you're thrilled about it. Charlotte, is she coming by letter, by statement? Okay. She wants to join our church by letter from the Morristown Baptist Tabernacle. And I want to say to you, we're thrilled that you want to become a member of this church. We're glad you're here. God bless you. Could I get the pleasure of the church, please, that we receive her by letter from the Morristown Baptist Tabernacle? Brother Mark? Brother Steve, second, all in favor, say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. So Carrie, you stay right there. We've got a bag for you. Many of you ladies come by and shake her hand. So on. If you men want to come by and talk to her, that's fine. welcome her to the membership of this local church. God bless you. Jump in and help us reach people with the gospel. We're thrilled to have you. Be back tonight, 6:30. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Watch Brother Nick Lingerfelt, sir, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us, please.
What you're doing.